that's perfect. But if you want to convince Laban, you're not using chesed as your standard. You're using superstition as your standard. You're trying to tell Laban, we have a sign from heaven that this is the right match. In other words, Laban has to understand this test not as a test of midos, but kind of as a superstitious test in which they believe that. They believe in teacher of magic. Now, in order to be a superstitious test, you can't say Rifkah did more than was asked. You have to make it exact. So Eliezer has to change the test so that Rifkah did exactly what Eliezer said. Right? Eliezer didn't need exact, because Eliezer just looked for chesed, and he did more chesed. But if you want to convince the mechutanim, you've got to make it like a natural thing. And finally, why does Eliezer leave out the reference to Avraham saying, under no circumstances bring my son there? Well, because that's an insult to the mechutanim. I mean, it's like saying, you're trying to flatter Laban. So he'll agree by saying how wonderful he is that Avraham is with him. But my master made me swear that his son will never set foot in your house when I leave. That's not a way of complimenting, right? So Eliezer diplomatically leaves that part out. So here is what you see about the gewaldic nature of Eliezer. Eliezer had every reason in the world to sabotage this mission. Eliezer had every reason in the world to make things so that Rivka wouldn't go back. Because what's Eliezer's kashman? If Rivka doesn't go back, maybe my daughter gets a second chance. Now, keep in mind, Eliezer could have sabotaged the mission not by lying. All Eliezer had to do to sabotage the mission would say exactly what Avraham told him to do. And if that didn't work successfully, Avraham couldn't blame him. Eliezer would say, I told the truth. So Eliezer's sitkus is that he was actually willing to use his own wisdom, his own understanding, to change and deviate from the words of Avraham in order to maximize the success of the mission. Even though his own personal negias would be that the mission should not be successful. Okay, it's really a very brilliant strategy. And this explains one other thing. I've said 100 times, this was Eliezer, Eliezer, Eliezer. Did you notice, we're so used to knowing it's Eliezer, we're sure it's in the Chumash. If you look in the Chumash, in Parshas Chayisara, Eliezer's name is not mentioned at all. It says, Eved Avraham. Now, we know that Eliezer was Eved Avraham, but Avraham had other Avraham too. So why does, and earlier in the Torah talked about Eliezer. Why in this case does it not mention Eliezer? Why does it only refer to him as Eved Avraham? So the Marashal, actually you will use Hashem if you go to Poland, this Marashal is one of the great Gedolei Achronim, or Shlomo Luria, who lived in Poland in the 1500s. So you're going to be in Krakow, Poland, you will see the Marshal's Kether. The Marshal says that the reason why the Torah calls him Eved Avraham is to show that he was so devoted to the mission of his master. It is as if he ceased to exist as his own person. He was totally nullified to the mission of Avraham. Total and spotless. Meaning, Eliezer, as Eliezer, wanted his daughter to marry Avraham. When it came to this shlichus, he was mevatel himself to the will of Avraham. That's how you remember. In fact, the Rebbe says, why is Moshe Rabbeinu called Eved Hashem? Right? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was called Eben Hashem. So the Radak says in the book of Yoshua that Eben Hashem is a reference to the halacha. There's a halacha. Ma shekana eved, kana rabbi. Whatever a slave acquires, if a slave finds $1 million, whatever a slave owns belongs to his master. Eved Hashem is a madrega. That whatever talent and abilities you have, you give to Hashem. So Eved Avram meant for that shlichus, whatever he had, he gave to Avram. If you want to point out just as a little aside, because I gave Eved Hashem, but Rabbanan Vasserman says that that is the meaning of a passage in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that every person can be as big a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. So people ask the question, how can you be as big a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi, there'll never be a Navi like Moshe. How can you be like Moshe Rabbeinu? So Lechanan Vasserman says the following. Certainly, none of us can ever be like Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was so much greater than ours. But just like Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved Hashem, whatever he was, he gave to Hashem. Whatever we are, we can give to Hashem. So yes, what I am and what he is are not at all comparable. But both of us can be an Eved Hashem because we give what we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Chanan Vasserman says, that's what the Rambam means when he says every person can be as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Bechina of the Hashem. In fact, I'll just add one extra idea to Eliezer Shlichus. The famous drasha that Rashi brings when Eliezer says, Ulai lo soa vehoisha, perhaps the woman won't want to go. So Rashi says, since Ulai is written without a vav, you can read it Eli, Eliezer is Sinti. Eli. That's the double entendre. I have a quote. Interestingly enough, that double entendre only appears when he's talking to Lavan. It actually does not appear when he's talking to Avram. And one might suggest the following. Eliezer's nobility is so great that Eliezer is willing to use